is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant with the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with you. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Let us pray. God, we thank you for your word this morning that has been read and heard. We ask that you might bless the words spoken, that they be your words for your people, that they remind us and guide us to your light and love this day. Amen. There's a picture that's been circulating a lot on the internet that I absolutely love, and it's an image of two dogs, one on each side of a fence, and underneath them is a shared blanket that was shoved underneath one of the fence. And the person who took the picture explains the story behind it. And the story was that their dog, they had rescued. It was a stray that was cold, and they had just given their dog this blanket to keep it warm. It was a Christmas blanket. And the dog, seeing the other one on the other side of the fence, a stray dog, cold and shivering, decided to share its blanket by pulling it over to the fence so that both of the dogs could use the blanket even though they were separated by a fence. And she goes on to explain that this reminder of compassion that she saw in their dogs, that here is a dog who understood what it was like to be cold and shivering and hungry, and saw and had compassion on another stray dog on the other side of the fence, and shared the one thing that it had that it thought would bring comfort to the other animal, and that was its blanket. And it is such a reminder to us today as well, with the beautiful image of the Advent season, of what it means to show compassion and love, that so many of us forget about what it means to be righteous. That in fact, we hear the word righteous, and it's so easy to think, okay, a righteous person is someone who just knows God, who follows all the laws, who's a good person, who knows right and wrong. But in fact, the story that was just read, that I'll go into a little more details here in Matthew, is more than just Joseph being a righteous person. Righteous is someone who has compassion, who understands what it means to emulate the love of Christ in the world and with those that we meet. Matthew is the one gospel that has a lot more information on Joseph than the other gospels, and we oftentimes just hear about Mary and don't know a lot about Joseph. But here in this passage in particular, especially right before we get to the part that was just read, we have the family tree of Joseph. And it goes, if you go through the list of everyone on the family tree, you come across very peculiar people. You come across some women who were not really considered women with good reputations. You have Rahab, who is a prostitute. You've got Tamar, who basically slept with her father-in-law to have children because all of his sons died and she wanted to continue the lineage. Then you have, of course, Bathsheba, who David had a relationship with Bathsheba that was not kind or loving, and in some ways took advantage of Bathsheba. And then you also have the story of Ruth, in which Ruth lost her husband, who ends up dying, and she follows her mother-in-law to a foreign land and ends up marrying one of her far-off cousins, of course, who then takes care of her. So these women in this lineage tree, they weren't considered women that people would be like, oh, I want to be like them, right? They didn't have good reputations, and yet Matthew puts them in the family tree for a specific reason. One, that this is the line and family that Jesus comes into, imperfect yet beautiful people in which God created, who have stories of their own and have shown through this lineage what it means to have compassion, that they are people just like all of us, and their stories had a huge influence on the world in which Jesus was born into. And then we go to this passage here, and again, we have this example of Joseph. Before Joseph even gets the dream from an angel, right, who speaks to him in a dream, he finds out that Mary is pregnant, and she comes and says, you know, I'm pregnant, and it's by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph probably is like many of us, thinking, wow, you know, that's not true. How can that be possible? And he knew that he was not the one to be with Mary, so it must have been somebody else that Mary had slept with. That would make logical sense to most people. But specifically, Matthew in this text, not only does he describe Joseph as righteous, he also says that Joseph, being a righteous man, decided that he would quietly divorce or break off the engagement to Mary. To kind of give you a little background of what that exactly means, Joseph and Mary, we say, were engaged, right? Well, engaged during this time frame is not what it means today. Engaged meant that they actually did sign a legal binding contract that's pretty much that they were married, but they didn't have the official ceremony. So they didn't have the family gathering together and the big celebration of the wedding. But they legally then would have been considered married, and then they were supposed to stay separate for an amount of time of a year before the actual ceremony would happen. So Joseph then hears this news, and he has two options. One of the options could be what is common to what would have taken place. He could have told everybody about Mary and said, look, you know, she's pregnant, it's not my child, she had an affair. And Mary could have had the risk of being stoned to death. At worst, maybe they wouldn't have done that, and she would have been shunned maybe from her community or looked down upon, and it would not have looked good for Mary. Or the other option, the option that Joseph decided to take, knowing all of this, is he decided to instead to seek to kind of quietly, not secretly, quietly divorce Mary. And in this action, he would be saying he had an issue with Mary, that it was all upon him. He would be taking on the responsibility of the situation, and Mary would still be left with a good reputation and would not, of course, have the punishment of death. So in fact, Joseph, in his action, not only was he righteous, he had compassion for Mary. Because he, even though at this point, like I said, he doesn't know yet that the baby that Mary is carrying is the Holy Spirit, his response could have been anger, it could have been frustration, it could have been hate, and say, yeah, she needs to be punished. But instead, Joseph responded with compassion. He looked at the situation and he said, instead, that he would quietly divorce her, meaning he would take the responsibility and he would look bad, not Mary. What an act of compassion that is, that Joseph, doing nothing wrong in the situation, was willing to take on the pain and the suffering of somebody else because of his righteousness and his compassion. As I said earlier, we often associate righteousness as just someone who does good, who knows and follows the laws. But when you think about it, maybe you're like, I do follow the commandments pretty well. Like, I don't steal, I don't murder, I don't lie, I don't cheat, you know, I do all of these good things. But the one commandment that all of us struggle with is the greatest commandment, which is to love God, the Lord your God, with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and to love one another. And that's the hardest part of it, because we can say, yes, I follow all the commandments, but do you really love one another? Do you have compassion like Joseph? Compassion in which you're willing to say, yes, this person wronged me, they hurt me, but I'm going to see them as a human being, dearly loved by God, and I'm going to respond with grace, not hate and anger and frustration. And that's the beautiful story here in the Advent season that we celebrate, because God sent his son to come to earth, to be Emmanuel, Christ with us, and not only that, to come and to take upon himself all of our sin, our angers, our hurts, our pain, and to take upon himself someone who did absolutely nothing wrong. Jesus was perfect. He was perfectly good and wonderful and beautiful and righteous, and in all of that, he took on every single person and all of creation's pain and suffering, an act of great compassion. Back to this image of that picture earlier with the two dogs, sometimes it takes other creatures, maybe even other people, to show us how we should respond in the world. Sometimes we get so caught up in the season of making sure everything is perfect and all everything is ready to go for Christmas Day that we forget the simple message of Christ's love to have compassion and grace. The other day, as I was driving, right, it's the Christmas season, people are crazy drivers during this time of the year. I don't know what the deal is. It's like they forget to drive, right? You all experience this. We're in a hurry. People are not watching the signs. And it's so easy to be so frustrated and be like, oh, I can't believe they just cut me off or whatever the case is. But instead, we often can look at it a little differently and think, you know what? They're trying to make everything perfect. Maybe they've had a bad day. They aren't thinking. There's frustrations. It's a different attitude of compassion in which you think, you know what? It's okay. I'm safe. They're safe. We're all fine. Let's just go about our day. That's the response of Jesus, right? One of compassion, one in which he took upon everything and said, you know what? Yes, people are mean to him. They hurled insults at Christ. They crucified an innocent man. And yet, in all of that, Jesus' response was, today you will be with me in paradise. He tells the thief on one of the crosses. He says, you know, I love you. Thy will be done, Lord. If it is your will, let it be done. His response was that very similar of Joseph, instead of getting revenge or anger or frustration, it was, I'm doing this for you because I love you. I'm taking on the pain because I love you and want you to be free of that pain. The beautiful story on this fourth Sunday of Advent as we prepare for the arrival of Christ again to return to the earth is this message of compassion and joy, and that's what it means to be righteous. If you ask yourself and you want to say, you know, I am a righteous person, I'm a good person, are you compassionate? Do you follow the commandment to love one another? Because all of us could do more of that. We all respond so much with hate and anger. Look at our country and our society and the world around us. That's how we respond to the world. We say, you know what? They wronged me. I'm going to wrong them. They deserve to be punished because they did such and such. But that's not the message of Christ. That's not the good news of the Holy Spirit of Advent, right? The good news is one that reverses that order and says, I'm going to take the harder route, the route of compassion, of love and kindness. And it's the harder route because Joseph, right, people would have talked about him. He could have done the easy way and say, you know what, Mary hurt me. She's pregnant with this child. It's not my child. And, you know, she deserves to be punished. And that's what everybody in the society would have said is okay. He could have taken that route. But instead he said, you know what, I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'm going to show compassion. And people might look bad at me because I'm doing this, but instead, that is the way that Joseph decided to go, the harder route, the route in which he took it upon himself, just as Christ has done for us. So when you're celebrating this time of this Christmas season, the season of Advent, of light, of hope, joy, and peace, let your love be one of compassion. Let it be that of a righteous person that says, you know what, it's not just about me. It's about everybody in God's world, in this creation, an attitude of love that not only am I to love God, I am to love one another. That's the greatest commandment. And to not respond in hate and anger and frustration, but to instead say, you know what, they're human, I'm human. I'm going to respond with compassion. It's not the easy route. It's, in fact, more challenging to respond that way sometimes, especially when you think you deserve better or differently. The change is a change in heart. Are we righteous like that of Joseph, like that of Jesus, or are we just righteous like a Pharisee? We follow the laws. We do right and wrong, but we ignore our neighbor. We ignore the dog who's shivering in the cold because we have our own blankets and we're our own cozy food and warm shelters. The message of Christ, the message of the Advent season, is to not only have the light of Christ in your heart and be brightened by that and be filled with joy and hope, but to share that with one another, that compassion, that light, that joy of Christ Jesus our Lord. The light in the season of darkness is hope and love through Christ. And it's meant to be shined forth. It's meant to multiply and go beyond these walls and into the world. Let us pray. God, it is so hard to follow you, to follow your commandments, especially your commandment to love others as you love us. Because you love us with so much grace and so much compassion, even when we don't deserve it, that sometimes it's hard to even comprehend that. How do we do that, God? We ask and we pray that you guide us, that you give us the strength to take the more challenged path, the challenging path of forgiveness and compassion and love, than to take the easy path of hatred and anger. Help us to change our hearts to reflect your love and light in this world, and help us this day when we are discouraged to be reminded of your unconditional love for us, that you would send your Son, Jesus Christ, to take on our pain, our hurt, to be in this world, to be among us, and to be that light and hope for all. Amen.